Hey there, I'm Matt Tommy, and over the last 10 years, I've helped thousands of Christian artists all over the world start thriving spiritually, artistically, and in the marketplace, while at the same time building my own super successful art business. If you're ready to bust through the roadblocks that have held you back for years, create the work you love, and really live the life you know God created you to live in His kingdom, then you're in the right place, my friend. Now, with over 500,000 downloads, you're listening to the Thriving Christian Artist Podcast. Well, hey, my friend, I'm so glad that you're with me on the podcast today. Listen, today is an excuse for me to have a conversation with somebody who I've been listening to on my podcast app on my phone, Mike Thacker. Mike, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Oh, thank you, Matt. Really excited to be here and appreciate the opportunity for sure. So,
you know, it's interesting. I think in all of our life, I'm always looking for the next voice, the next person that the Lord's going to bring in my life to kind of bring me that next thing, you know, to step into. I think for me, I'm always a little unsettled, and that's good, you know, for looking for that next thing. And I just stumbled across your podcast and was so blessed, continue to be blessed by all that you're doing. And I wanted to have you on to just kind of share some of the goodness that is your life and all that you're about for our creative community. So for those who may not know you, maybe a little introduction, who you are, where you're from, what you do, and then we'll kind of jump into today's podcast.
All right. I think I can manage that one. My name is Mike Thacker, and I'm originally from Manchester in the UK. If you know anything about Manchester, you know we got two soccer teams, so we're going to go with Manchester United, the only ones that really count. If you're a City supporter, I can't fix that for you. Lived in Texas for about 15 or so years and working hard on my Southern drawl, but I'm already being outclassed by Matt here with the Southern accent there. So, you know, this is as good as I can do. And I spent a lot of time working in the for-profit world and a little bit of time working in the non-profit world, done some ministry stuff with some churches and also some organizations outside of church, and really just trying to find my way through life and figure out, you know, how God can use me the best and how I can somehow, you know, reflect Him and, you know, and shine for Him. So that's me in a nutshell.
I love it. You know, part of my journey is that I was in ministry for a long time, and I later realized that I was really an entrepreneur at heart. I used to get in trouble in ministry a lot because I was kind of an out-of-the-box thinker and, you know, all this sort of thing. And then as I've grown my business over the years and helped others to do that as well, the Lord's really brought this beautiful grid of being able to not only minister to people, but also be this agent of transformation in the world through my unique design. And when I heard you and all that you're talking about, you put such beautiful language around that. You're really passionate about both entrepreneurship and this whole idea of sustainable social enterprise being used in the business world, but also used in the lives of people. So how did you come to this unique mix? And maybe we can dive in there.
Well, Matt, I think I was just slow and probably didn't do as much research as I was supposed to, because, you know, I had what I thought was a unique idea, but apparently a few other folks have had an idea that's very similar as well. But, you know, for me, my wife and I got married young. If you've heard me on my show or other shows, you know, you're probably familiar with that. And so we spent a little bit of our life working in the regular world. And then we flip-flopped to ministry and, you know, tried that for a while. And, you know, then we went back to, you know, the regular world again, and then back to ministry. And, you know, the thread through it all was we were just trying to find a way that we could serve God. And as a kid who grew up in church, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, but I think subconsciously the inference is if you really want to do something for God, you're going to go into some kind of ministry role, right? Yeah. Like if you're an A-team player, you're going to be a minister or a missionary or something like that. If you can't quite hack it in that world, you're going to go, you know, work in a regular job and just volunteer at church the weekend. And I always say, nobody ever said it to me quite like that, but that's the impression that I think I grew up with. And so I just figured that's the way you do it. And, you know, we got to a place where I was working at a company and, you know, it was a pretty decent job and I was doing pretty well and, you know, making some money. And I had a conversation with Linda one day and I said, you know, to be really good at this, I feel like I got to sell my soul. And I don't think this is what I want to sell my soul for. Hmm. And so I didn't really know what I wanted to do. At this point, we'd done ministry, we'd done business, and I didn't really know what the future looked like. I just knew it didn't look like that. And I think for me, that was the point where I knew something was wrong, but I still didn't know yet what was right. So we went back to ministry thinking that was right, but it wasn't. And then finally, you know, I had this realization of what if we could find a way. Well, actually, before I say that, let me say this. And I've mentioned this before, but it's worth mentioning for whoever's listening, because this was a moment that really made an impact in my life. I was listening to a podcast with a guy called Chris Vallotton out of Redding, California at Bethel Church.
Yeah, sure.
And this is going back a few years. You know, podcasting wasn't as big as it is now. And I honestly, I don't even know how often I listen to podcasts. I don't really know how I came across the one I was listening to, but I was. And he was talking about understanding God's will and hearing the voice of God. And he was talking about students who always come and see him at his office because he teaches at the Bible school that they have there. And they always want to know, you know, Chris, how do I know God's will in my life? How do I know what direction I'm supposed to take? So of course I'm all ears because I've been a Christian since I was 9. I still don't have a clue what God's will is for my life some days. So, but his advice was so simple. He said, all I ever say to them is this, look in your life and go where the favor is.
Yeah. Follow the favor.
Right? Follow the favor. And it sounds so simple, but it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
And so my wife and I had a conversation. I said, look, you know, we've done this ministry thing. I'm clearly not cut out for church politics, and I'm really not cut out for the business of church. I get that some people can do that, but I'm not one of them.
Right.
And whenever we've done business or been in the regular job kind of world, you know, I've done okay. I mean, I led some big sales teams. We made good money, and you know, we saw success. We'd started things before. I said, I think God is in this and he wants me to start something. So I said, why don't we start something different? And we'll do a for-profit, but we're going to create a non-profit at the same time. And I'm going to take money from over here and just give it over there. And I don't have to ask anybody for anything. I don't need permission from
simple,
anybody.
Right? Simple.
It was genius. And so we went for it. And here I am trying to open a co-working space, and I'm showing the space before it's even open. I'm telling people all about this nonprofit. We haven't done a single thing yet and we got no money, but I'm telling them that we made this thing and we're going to go and do this other thing. And people are excited about it, you know, and here we are 5 years later and it's just been incredible. And, you know, I was talking, I was on a phone call earlier with Jordan Rayner. He's written a couple books out of Florida. And
yeah,
one of his books
podcast,
is called,
yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Perfect. So yeah. He's written a book called Call to Create.
Yeah.
And it's all about this concept that as people, you know, work's not a dirty word. God made it. You know, he put Adam in a garden and said, go do something. He didn't say just, you know, lie around, do nothing kind of a thing. And this idea, I think, in the church world of the A-team players going into ministry, whether it's a written rule or not, I don't think there's anything that could be worse for the for the church and the kingdom. You want your A-team players in the field. How many good youth pastors are there and kids pastors and associate pastors who are trying to work their way up a corporate ladder in the church world and wasting talents that if they applied them in the business world, holy moly.
Absolutely. You know, I say this to artists all the time. I say, you know, I believe that our gifts can bless the church and they should bless the church and we should be involved in local churches, but it's not necessarily for the church. It's for the marketplace so that we can be those ambassadors of light and life and in transformation. I don't know if you struggle with this. I see so many people struggle with this whole thing about when you begin to put faith and relationship with the Lord and the kingdom and all that, and then you start talking about money, people get squirrely because, you know, all of a sudden it's amazing how people think about this. You know, they're like, well, the only right way to do life and do ministry is to ask people for money, for donations. And I'm like, and yet that leads to jealousy and frustration and unfulfilled dreams and all this kind of stuff. And when, I don't know, the Lord started doing this in me as I started building my business, it's like, hey, you can use your you know, business and your influence as a vehicle of blessing in the lives of people. And all of a sudden fund the things that you want to do, just like what you're finding out. And all of a sudden you realize, wow, this is not only a vehicle of blessing to others, it's also the vehicle of provision that God's bringing into my life. And they're not mutually exclusive. I mean, did you have to, was that a huge revelation? Or, I mean, it was for me at least.
So I think it was two things. I think one, it probably was a big revelation because it was so ingrained in me from the age of 13. I thought I was going to be a preacher, nothing else. That was it. And so I think internally at a subconscious level, I was wrestling with the fact that, but this isn't being a preacher, Mike. This is just work. And because I hadn't been trained or educated or shown that actually, no, that's okay. Like, this is a good thing and God can operate through this. I think subconsciously there was something inside me that was resistant to it.
Mm.
And I think, you know, the other perspective was just giving myself permission.
Yeah.
Because I think somewhere deep down, it felt like maybe I'd failed because as a church planner, I didn't build a big church, you know, like the other guy down the street, or, you know, I hadn't been on a staff at a big enough church like some other guys do. And not that you want to compare yourself, but it's always there somewhere. And, you know, as somebody who's capable and skilled, and, you know, I was a sales manager, you know, selling high-end IT solutions to government in the UK. And, you know, my sales teams were, I think at the time, you know, exchange rates change and all that kind of stuff, but it was probably $80-100 million or so in a year. So, you know, you feel a little bit like a big dog. You know, I was a young guy, 20 something, and, you know, we were the most successful teams in the business on a regular basis. And you leave all that and you go and do this church thing, and then it doesn't really seem in the natural like it worked out that well. And now I want to kind of give it up to go back into the business world. And I think somewhere, I didn't do counseling or therapy or anything like that, but as I reflect back on it, I think somewhere in there was just this permission and this freedom to say, Mike, like, that's God's will for your life. And I think some days now I even wrestle with it. You know, it's been a crazy year, right? Revenues are down, not up. And, you know, but you still look and you see God's hand and you still wonder, is it really the right thing? Did I make a mistake? Did I make a wrong decision? You know, and I think that's just that voice in your head just trying to get inside of you. And obviously that's why we read scripture. It's why we pray. It's why we get into God and say, no, hang on a minute. What does God say about me? Who does God say I am? You know, I need to get this perspective right for a second.
I love that. So as you stepped out into that, were people that you trust in your life, or were they looking at you like, oh, Mike, I don't know about this? Or were they on board with that? Were they feeling the yes in their spirit too? And
so, you know, I don't know is the honest answer. You know, in the US, the only people that we really knew at that point were people who we had served on staff at a church, because outside of that, we hadn't really connected with a lot of other people.
Right.
And so I'm not sure what they were thinking, you know, as they looked at what was going on, or if they were even looking. I'm not sure what my family were thinking back home, but I don't know that any of them really grasped the scale of what we were doing. I mean, you know, it was my wife and I and three kids and some piggy banks. And here I am, you know, leasing out 23,500 square feet for a flexible office space in 2014 before co-working was even a thing.
Right.
I just knew I wanted an office to go work in that was awesome and would make me want to go to work. And I didn't know what to call it. Thankfully somebody else had the idea and came up with a name and, you know, and made it famous for me. But I think we thought we were crazy. I'm sure that any of our family that were watching from the outside possibly were thinking the same. And my wife's family don't even believe in God the same way that we do. So I don't even know how they were processing that. I'm probably the guy that took their baby girl away and, you know, took her to another country and
with no plan.
Crazy. Right? With no money and no ideas, apparently. The one idea he had didn't work out too good. So
I love it. I love it. I've heard you talk about people and profit and purpose. Unpack that a little bit, because I think it really is just a beautiful core of when I think of what you do. I mean, it's the three kind of things that you're trying to build into everything that you're doing.
Yes. So I think as we were trying to figure this out on our journey and trying to understand, okay, what does this look like? What does mission and ministry look like for us? You know, the idea was this formula of people and, you know, and profit together, you know, fueling this purpose was the dream, because the people, obviously the people we serve as a business, our customer, and then there's also the people we serve through the nonprofit, the folks that we help. And to do all of that, we have to have some profit, right? We have to have some money. Something's got to fuel it. You need gas in the tank. And when you've got that together, for us, that's living out our purpose. That's fulfilling the purpose. That's doing the things that we believe God put us on the earth to do. And right now, I don't know any other way that we could do it. I don't know how we could do it without a business and without, you know, the power of entrepreneurship. On its own, it can't do it. You need God's spirit there as well. And you need help from the Holy Spirit, you know, to be able to do this well and do it right. And anything that we've done, you know, let me be clear, it's not because of my smarts or intellect. I mean, I still remember standing there in that big space, looking at all this concrete, thinking, oh my word, like, what are we doing here? Right. You know, I have no real estate background at all. I've never done a construction project in my life. I'm going to go build 117 offices in 23,000 square feet. I don't know. I had a couple of sleepless nights, I got to be honest. But yeah, from a formula perspective, for me, I don't know how I could communicate it any clearer. Those are the elements that I need to fuel that purpose and that mission.
I love that. Now, take us behind the scenes a little bit. What is, for those of the folks that are just meeting you, what is, you know, Work Lodge, and then what is the nonprofit, and how do those work together, and some of the beautiful things that you guys are able to do through that?
Yeah, so Work Lodge, very simply, as a guy that worked for big companies and then was a small business owner, one of the things I wrestle with is, why is it that if I work for a big company, I can go work at a beautiful campus with great amenities and everything's just awesome? But as a small business owner, I can't afford that. I can't afford the investment. I don't want to make the investment, and it would be wrong of me to put that kind of money to building something like that. But then my options are basically, you know, dumb and dumber. That doesn't seem right.
Right.
So our goal was, what if we could build a professional campus type environment for any size business and entrepreneur to walk into, plug into, and work? We take care of everything. It's like a boutique hotel for business. So you can walk in today within about 15 minutes. I can have you in an office for one person, 10 people, 40 people. We got different sizes and scale, and you can sign up for a month or two. You can sign up for a year or two, but we give you that ability to flex and scale. And especially in a year like now, all these folks in their long 5-7 year leases, and they're paying for space that no one's going in and using, and the staff don't want to go back into, you know, that's such a large amount of money. If they'd been in a space like ours,
yeah,
they could have evolved. They could have scaled down, or they could have scaled up if they were doing well. So it's a really interesting model that gives businesses the ability to be more successful than if they go the traditional route. It's not just about saving money. It's about what else it gives you on top of that.
Yeah.
And so what we've done is, up until this point, and I'll be honest, I don't know where 2020 is going to finish. So I'm hoping we can do this again. But up until this point, I think we've been able to give in excess of 10% of our total off-the-top gross revenue every single year since we opened. And it was important for me because I wrestled with this a lot, Matt. You know, I talk to people and say, okay, so this tithing thing, so how does that work with business then? Well, you can do this and you can do that. And it's like, yeah, but if I do it off the net, I mean, I can make those expenses be anything I want them to be, right?
Right, right.
So that doesn't seem right. And I could never get a good answer that I was happy with. And so one day I said to Linda, I said, you know what? We're just going to go straight off the top. It is what it is. I'm not going to stand before God one day and have to answer why I bought too many gadgets or too nice of a vehicle on the business expense, or, you know, did this or didn't do that. If it's off the top, nobody can argue with anything. Wow. It's clean and it's simple.
And big, and so, bold, you know, move.
I mean, it just felt right to us.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it seems crazy to others, but listen, you know, God's taken care of us. And even though this has been a down year, I look around and I see co-working companies failing. You know, one of the big franchising ones in the news yesterday filed bankruptcy.
Wow.
We're still profitable. Not as profitable as we were, but we're still profitable moving forward. And I'm so excited. It's so crazy that I look around at the outward signs and I see rooms that are empty that were full. And it seems strange to me. You know, we built a business on community and people being around, and there's no people around. But then, from an inner perspective, I feel so much peace sometimes when I think about the future and I think about God's hand being in this.
Mm.
I just know that whatever happens, He's got it.
Wow. That's so good. So where, now that you're still profitable, you're taking this 10%, funding it into your nonprofit, what does that look like? What's the transformation that you're seeing in people's lives?
You did ask me about that. Sorry, I got carried away.
No, that's fine.
So we do a couple different things. So our goal was, okay, we're a small business, right? It's going to be a while before we're a big one, if we ever get to be a big one. So we can't help everybody and we can't do everything. So we decided that we would set a limit and we would only help other organizations or ministries below a certain revenue level. So, you know, if someone's out there and they've just got a great, you know, nonprofit and they're killing it with loads of donations, God bless you. I'm really excited for you, but I'm not going to come alongside and help that, because somewhere else is a struggling guy who probably needs it a little bit more. And those are the ones we're looking for. Mm. And so we target mainly two types of people groups. We target children, specifically children with no families. So orphans, if you want to call them that. And then also ladies in difficult situations that they can't get out of themselves. So human trafficking, abusive situations. And we work with and alongside other organizations and help fund the work that they do. So locally, for example, in Houston, which is our headquarters, we support a group there who provide counseling and rehabilitative services to victims of human trafficking. But then in Thailand, and this episode just dropped today on my podcast, we support a lady who moved from California 5 years ago. She set up a vocational training school and she rescues people out of trafficking, trains them with a real life skill that they can go out and earn a living and not go back to that lifestyle that they were in before. For me, that's so phenomenal because that's that self-sustainability, you know, because you can't fund everything forever. Right. You can only fund things that can then fund themselves somewhere down the road. And so I'm so proud of Diana and what she's doing out there. It was a blast having her on the show. And it turns out she's actually the sister of someone who worked for me for 3 years, who was also a great guy. And it's just neat how God kind of, you know, moves things together. So basically we do localized projects and then fewer overseas projects. We built some children's homes in India. We built water wells that give clean water to about 2,500 people so far, with a Hollywood stunt guy, actually, who runs an organization out in Cambodia. And then locally in Houston, we work with an organization. In fact, we just made a donation to them, Compassion United. They're very close to our Woodlands location. They've been in that area about 10 years or so, working with the homeless, the underprivileged, families in need, pregnant teens with nowhere to go. And so again, just an incredible ministry. God's blessed them. The city basically sold them, you know, for a very, very reasonable sum of money, 5 acres of land. And they're building a self-sustaining campus on the land where they're going to have housing to bring these folks in, educate and train. They're going to build an auto shop so that the guys have got somewhere to go work. And then they can not only have a job and an income, but then the profit that it makes is reinvested into the self-sustaining community to enable them to do more ministry. And that is the future of ministry. And so we just donated last week, I think about $100,000. It was our largest donation ever. We don't typically give away anything like that. It took me about a year and a half of wrestling with God when I got the number. I said, no, there's no way. Hang on a second. We are not that rich, God. Have you got the right person? Like, this is Mike you're talking to. Was it $100? You know? But anyway, you know, and there's the testimony, right? In a year like this, God still made a way, you know, for us to be able to do something like that. And again, you know, hopefully we'll still be here tomorrow. I think we will be. And, you know, it's just a testament to him and what he's able to do.
You know, I'm just reminded in my own story, I'm thinking back a couple of years ago, I was sitting at a nonprofit event that we're passionate about, a local group here that I'm on the board of now. And they call the chairman or the big sponsor of this event up to come say a few words and everything. And the guy had, you know, it was like a $10,000 sponsorship that he did. And as he's walking up, the Lord says to me, "That's going to be you next year." And I was like, now, you know, I think we all go through this, right? You get, there's the $100 goalpost and then the $500, then the $1,000, the $5,000. We had never given $10,000 to anything ever. And I was just like, okay, Lord. And we came back and Tanya, my wife and I, you know, we agreed in our heart. We're like, God's going to do this. And so next year we were the major sponsor and we, you know, sowed $10,000 into that. And it was this amazing, first of all, it was amazing that our business had grown so much where that we didn't even feel that. I mean, you know, from a like, oh my gosh, this is sacrificial. I mean, we were able to give out of the overflow. And as we continue to make those steps of increasing and just giving without, you know, any sort of reservation, but just freely, freely you've received, freely give, whether it's a write-off or not, we're going to release these funds. Our business has doubled and doubled and doubled every year. And the influence has continued to grow and grow and grow. And I was talking to my pastor, actually one of our staff pastors the other night, and he was talking about what we were doing. You know, we have an online mentoring program. So we touch, you know, thousands of people all over the world, teach them how to thrive creatively and all this. And we were just talking about this whole model. And he said, I think it's like you're changing the face of discipleship, you know, in the church. And I think as I'm hearing you, I'm like, God is doing something. Sometimes it's like God has to go outside the church to kind of create a new model, you know, a new way of doing things that then will almost cause a little bit of offense and almost cause a little bit of like, this doesn't make any sense. This is a head scratcher. But then when you start to see the fruit, you're like, whoa, this is incredible. And I'm thinking like, you know, we're getting ready to give this year in the nonprofit that we're a part of here in town. And we're going to be doing some joint fundraising things and all that. And God's put this thing on my heart to start an arts and healing center at this place. And immediately they ask about funding, and I'm able to say, don't worry about that. We got that. You know, that's the easy part. Let's find the people and the thing that we're going to be doing. And wow, I mean, the freedom that comes with that and the responsibility, yes, but it's just so incredible, isn't it?
Right. And that's the key. It's that freedom of having an idea and saying, you know what? Yeah, let's just do it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to stop and think about donor management. I don't have to think about who am I going to pick up the phone and start, you know, basically hands out. Hey, you know, and they're going to look at the caller ID and think, okay, what does this guy need this time? You know, here we go again. I don't want to be that guy. And you know what? I don't know that God wants to be that God.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I don't get the feeling that's what it was designed for. And I think, look, I don't want to get controversial, but did we miss a bit where Paul made tents for a living? The Paul did not take a salary and take care of himself that way, but he worked in the marketplace and continued. Like, I think there's a little bit more depth there than we've maybe given credence to, you know, in the Western civilization. And I wonder if we're, you know, we're reworking that model a little bit with everything that's going on right now.
Well, one of the things I teach in our mentoring program, I said, listen, Jesus lived 30 years before he ever did a miracle. And what was he doing? He was dealing with clients and doing commissions and doing his art in the marketplace, you know, doing the thing that he'd been designed to do. And I think that's beautiful. And I think God's allowing this to reemerge. And I don't know, I'm so privileged to be able to walk in this in my life and encourage others to do the same. The question I want to ask you, Mike, because I know so many that are listening right now may be in that emerging artist or emerging business owner kind of place. I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to let you answer it. Is it ever too early to start thinking about people and profit and purpose? And how does somebody start down that journey if the thing that God's given them right now is just a fledgling idea or just a fledgling concept that they're just starting to walk into? How can they be a blessing and also receive the blessing of being a part of this kind of thing?
So I think there's a couple of phases for this answer then. So no, obviously I don't believe it's ever too early for us. You know, I still look at the dates now. We created and formed the nonprofit in December of 2014. We didn't open Work Lodge till July of 2015. So we knew well before that that's what we were doing. And that's what we told everybody we were doing when we were pre-selling and pre-showing space. Obviously that doesn't mean I was giving away money. Because I didn't have any to give. I mean, I've got to build a business and get it going, and it's got to generate something back. I think, you know, the second answer for what do you do if you've got an idea and you know, you're trying to get something going. Look, I'm not saying that my life is the way to do it at all. And I'm not saying that the way God works through me is the way God needs to do it through someone else. Sure. I know that he's plenty big enough to do things differently. And I did plenty of things that a lot of experts would say were wrong. Okay. I mean, we did. We raided every dollar we had. We spent everything that we had. We have no investors. We have no partners. We have no backers. We have no debt. And that's the way we've got to where we are. We'd probably be a whole lot bigger if we had taken debt, but we just don't believe that that's what God wants from us. What I can tell you is this, you better be sure. You better be sure you're hearing from God. And if you're not, listen, he's big enough to answer. So if you're in a position where you're praying for an answer to God, and you're not getting an answer back, I think let's fix that problem first before we start going on anywhere else. Because you better be sure you're hearing from him before you put it all on the line. I mean, taking a step of faith is great, but Abraham had to know that voice wasn't a voice in his head saying, don't, you know, go forward with that dagger anymore. He knew a difference because he knew what God sounded like. And
come on.
You know, Matthew says, seek first the kingdom, right? Everything else takes care of itself. But you got to seek him first. And my daily prayer, when I get up in the mornings and I have devotions with my wife, is I'm seeking you today, God. I need to know you more. I need to walk closer with you. The rest of the fluff, you know about it already. Like, I don't need to give you a list of everything that's gone on in my life. I might pray about, you know, a few big things, but I'm not there to gripe about everything that's going on. I'm chasing him, and I got to keep chasing him, because whether this works, whether it doesn't work, whether tomorrow's great, whether tomorrow's not great, nothing's going to change the fact that one day I'm going to stand before him and answer for everything I ever did. And then we're going to go on from there. And I want to make sure that in that respect, I got it right. And I know too many good people that made a decision because they thought they heard from God. Mm. And if they thought from God and that's how it turned out, I got real theological issues with it.
Yeah. So yeah, come on,
you know, let's get that figured out first. You walk is the most important thing. And I think as entrepreneurs, and especially as a younger guy, for me, impatience is a hard one to overcome. Mm. It's okay. There will be a tomorrow. You don't have to do it all today. And I think for the younger guys out there, they're just so quick. They're so keen to just burst and go. And again, that may be God's thing for you, but it might not be. A little bit of wisdom goes a long way. Take some time to get some. You know, if you don't, you're gonna do what I did, and you're gonna learn some lessons a very long, hard way that take way longer than they should have. And if I'd have learned them sooner, I think I'd be in a very different place right now today. And that's just being honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Mike, you're an inspiration to me and to so many out there with your podcast and just the life that you're living. I'm so appreciative that you're willing to share your story today. I know folks are going to want to connect with you further. So where's the best place for them to do that?
Easiest place, just go to mikethacker.com. It's T-H-A-K-U-R. Links to the podcast are on there. Links to Work Lodge are on there. You can find me on social as well. It's Real Mike Thacker on Instagram and Facebook. But, you know, the website will take you anywhere you want to go.
Awesome. Well, Mike, thank you so much for a great, great conversation today.
No, thank you, Matt. Enjoyed it.
Hey, my friend, before we go, I wanted to let you know it's still not too late to get your ticket for the Thriving Christian Artist Conference. There's no other conference for Christian artists in the world that helps you thrive spiritually, artistically, and in the business world. Listen, we're talking about all the things that you want to talk about: how to find your clients, how to grow on social media, how to overcome that stinking thinking that you've been dealing with and really thrive as the artist that God's called you to be. We're going to be talking about how to do things like license your art, how to run Facebook ads, how to build wealth with God, how to overcome all the striving that you may feel like you're trying to work through in your life and actually flow with the grace of God as you grow your art business. Listen, this is going to be such a practical, incredible weekend together. It's virtual. No matter where you are in the world, you can join. It's going to be 11 to 6 Friday and Saturday, March 5th and 6th, 2021, online via Zoom. Anybody can join. And yes, when you register, you get the replays. You'll have access to the recording. So even if you can't make it live, you can still have the recordings. All right. Listen, don't put this off any longer. Join us for the Thriving Christian Artist Conference. Click the link that's in the show notes. Get your ticket and make plans to join us now. All right. I hope to see you there. Bye. Hey, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with me today on the podcast. Listen, I hope it's been a huge encouragement to you on your journey as an artist. Hey, also, before you leave, make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of the other episodes of the Thriving Christian Artist Podcast. And also, be sure to connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, or at my website, which is matttommymentoring.com. Until next time, remember, you were created to thrive. Bye-bye.